Welcome to Culture Beast. It's good to be back.
Going to be back. A lively episode planned.
Yeah.
Not planned. It's just going to happen.
Well, yeah. Trust me. Boy, howdy.
Boy, howdy.
It's nice that you're back up here and your car didn't, nothing happened.
Yes, yes.
Which is apparently, it's more rare that it
what
gets
do you mean?
You here.
It's, only, it's only, when's the other time that it's broken down?
Well, now that you're saying that, I can't remember, but I just feel like sometimes sometimes it's hard for you to get up here, I feel.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard for you to get down there. You had to work the other weekend.
Yeah, but then I... You know, now that my memory's coming back, I'm realizing this conversation is not in my favor. Anyway, it's nice to see you here with your car running.
I'm glad my car has ran all the way up here.
I'm kidding.
I am. That sucked having to take apart.
2 minutes in, we're heading towards an argument.
It sucked having to take apart that ignition.
You know, how'd that feel? I hope bad.
Oh, it's terrible.
Good.
Instead of hanging out with you, getting verbally punished. I was getting punished from my car.
Yeah. Yeah, at least when I verbally kick you in the nuts, no little metal pieces jam anything up.
Yes.
Mm. This is a big deal.
Andalusian bull. Okay. Here I am bitching it.
No, it's Andalusian.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It smells so
and
good.
It's LFD, and they don't make many of them. They don't release many of them. It's my favorite cigar. And you never had one. And it's time that happened.
Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's what they're meant for.
Yes.
You know, and we had a good conversation about you know what cigars mean to us, kind of last night, around the fire pit.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're meant to be shared. It's a social. Cigars are a social event.
They are.
I'd
they
cut
be.
Off a bit more than that.
Think so. I'm not far off. I just want to make sure it's flat and even. There we go. It's a bit better. Cool. So, yeah, it's gonna be fun. I got a lot to talk about.
I have some things to talk about.
Yeah.
Not, I wouldn't say a lot, but it's not a little.
Okay.
It's a small smattering of of intellectual peeking.
I just saw a bug almost fly up your nose.
Yeah, that's humble too. Well, that's what happens when you smell like shit.
You just took a shower.
I know. That's how bad it is.
What are you showering?
But soap, that Dove, that good shea butter. I don't know what that is or why it is, but it really is smooth. It's nice.
I'm so happy for you. Now that we know about Hugh's skincare ritual.
Silky smooth.
I'm going to light this.
I would. Top five things to not say on the air.
Oh, wow.
And we have, we're featuring Citadel Gin. I've never had it. It's a French gin. And, so far, like most French things, it's very pretty to look at, but we'll whoop your ass. I'm actually sticking by that comment.
But does it work?
Yeah, I think so. It's good. Yeah. Was that a labor joke you just made about the French, or was that
a things from the French not working.
Oh, cars.
And cars.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, a money system. Mm-hmm. And, you know... You know what one thing the French have down? Butter.
Baguettes? Oh.
I mean, yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
But yeah, the usage of butter. Mm-hmm.
I saw a really good quote the other day. The guy said, if we don't have butter and we don't have flour, why come to Italy?
Makes sense.
I can think of about seven other reasons, but, you know, peasants, what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. What a pedestrian thing to say.
He was a chef.
What a pedestrian thing to say.
Yeah, so what do you got? What do you got topic-wise, sir?
I have been developing my own summer playlist.
Yes, you have.
Where Paul has the iconic summer, I have Hot as the Day, which is a way better title.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I know. Do you want to know how I know? Because I did it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm in a sassy mood today, so I'm going to just let... Usually I try to tone it down, but I'm just... honestly, in the words of my good friend Ollie Smith, I can't be bothered. but yeah, no, I've been so, and I've been, it's, I feel like good summer music, it's all about the beat. It's all about the feel and the vibe. Yep. And I think EDM is such a great example of that. And I'm eating words from Culture Beast, like episode 12 or whatever it was. But yeah, I love it. And I do go more towards like the old school songs that are remixed, like the old soul and funk and that kind of thing. But I'm enjoying it. And I've got some Surfaces, other stuff thrown in there.
Yeah, the playlist.
You know, a couple Elton Johns, you know, Stevie Wonder, fun songs, Jamiroquai.
Yes.
But yeah, it's got a lot of EDM as well.
Yeah, that's a good playlist.
Yeah.
I definitely enjoyed it. We took a drive up to Ennis to see Hugh's parents for their 45th.
Yeah,
and
45th
found out
wedding
that his mom does not listen to the podcast.
Yeah, so, that was a surprising revelation because I've sent her the link probably four or five times. And I swear to you on a stack of Bibles that she asked me about a topic that we talked about one time. But apparently, that's crap.
That's funny.
But yeah, no, she, yeah, I don't know. And then my uncle... What did he say? My uncle's in town from Virginia, and he was watching, and he turns, he goes, so, do you guys ever talk about anything?
Yeah. When does it start?
When does the content start? Yeah, that's what
And we were like, it has started. It's going to start in a little bit.
This is what we do. Yeah. If you want to do a podcast that's all content, you get stuff.
Exactly.
To give you an idea of my uncle, he's 68, 69 years old, and went down Cat 5 Rapids yesterday in a kayak he's never paddled before. And that is really sums up, how people in my family make decisions. But yeah, it was great to spend time with them. 45 years of marriage. Yeah. And neither of them have assault or battery charge.
That's great.
Which is crazy when you meet them. You're like, I would have.
Your parents are amazing.
They are. They're great people.
So that was fun to celebrate with them.
Yeah, yeah. Good food, good time.
The drive out there is incredible.
Oh, yeah. Ennis, Montana, if you ever find yourself in Bozeman, it's 45 minutes down this beautiful road, and it's just a really cute, fun little town.
Mm-hmm.
Lot going on. Great views.
Yeah, all the views on the way down there were just absolutely
And some
incredible.
Of the best fly fishing in the world.
That's what I hear. Yeah, I've added to my summer playlist.
I noticed. I listen probably once a week.
Do you? Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good. So it's fun. It's fun getting into like the swing of summer. I've kind of forgotten how to do summer, honestly.
Paul Aspen's forgotten how to do summer?
I have.
Wow.
I know.
It was a long winter.
So hooked on to winter.
Yeah, well, because Forza, I mean.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, you know.
Which I do miss. Like, we played a little bit today on your console, and it was fun.
You know, I almost think that maybe you have something figured out, though, because it's so easy to get home from a long day, and instead of going and doing something outside or going on a walk or, you know, hike or golf or work on cars or drive or whatever, it's real easy to just hop on there and kill 4 hours and then you get to go to bed.
Right.
So I think you might be onto something.
Yeah, and it's kind of like what we were talking about last night, you know, in where you're directing your body and what position you're putting your body in, right? And kind of doing that intentionally, you know? So in the winter, like, I intentionally want to put my body in a season of rest, you know, where, like, if I bomb 6 hours on Forza on a day,
so be it.
Yeah, awesome. What else am I gonna do? You know,
that's fair. Out this winter, yeah,
yeah.
If you didn't ski, what else were you gonna do?
Right.
It snowed. It started snowing here. It started snowing middle of October.
Yeah.
And stopped in the beginning of April.
Yeah, we got way less snow than you. Than you guys
oh,
here.
But see, it's not always like that. Sometimes no. You guys get more.
Right.
But we got hammered this year.
Yeah.
But, and you can't see it right now, but everything's so green.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the time of year to be in Montana.
Oh,
all
yeah.
Green. Yeah.
That's what I tell people. They're like, oh, I'd like to come out at the end of the summer. I'm like, no, you don't. No, you don't. I know you think that.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, so yeah, lots of music going on. I've been, slowly developing an idea for, like, you know how they do like food blogs and stuff and like
yes.
recipe blogs and stuff?
Yes.
I think it'd be really fun to do like a cigar pairing blog.
Absolutely.
And so I've been kind of working on,
cool,
you know, writing a lot of these pairings down, you know.
With food, with drink? With
drink.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Well, how are you feeling about our pairing today?
If I'm honest, the reason I'm having a gin and tonic and you're having a gin and tonic is because it's summer and I felt like a gin and tonic.
Yes.
It in no way pairs very well.
No, it doesn't pair very well at all, but it's delicious.
Mm. That Citadel gin is good.
Mm-hmm.
I like a good dry gin, like a traditional dry with a good punch.
Yeah.
And this just kind of smacks you in the face mm-hmm. a little bit.
Yeah, it's a good one. Did you buy it here? Where did you mm-hmm. get it from? Okay.
Yeah, you can. Montana Wines and Spirits has it. It's pretty widespread. Beautiful bottle, beautiful label. Mm. It's a good gin. And I find myself like, I like bourbons, I like scotches, I like rums and stuff, but I drink a lot more gin in the summer
yeah.
than I think I'd drink anything else.
Yeah, you got me really hooked on gin gimlets.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I love gimlets.
Yeah.
They're so
easy.
Yeah.
And start playing with it.
Mm-hmm.
Start playing with different gins. Start playing with, you know, fresh squeezed lime versus lime juice.
Yep.
Start messing with different simples. Like,
mm-hmm.
honestly, that vanilla simple
uh-huh.
that you make
mm-hmm.
sounds weird, right?
Mm-hmm. Could be good.
Get, like, I love in the summer putting edible, like, flower or, like, something floral
mm-hmm.
as the garnish of mm-hmm. a drink.
Interesting.
And I saw a really pretty martini with a flower just floating in it.
Hmm.
A blossom floating in it. And I was like, man, a good gimlet.
Yeah.
And so I think, I go for lighter drinks. Like, I go for gin and tonics, gin gimlets.
Yeah.
Dry martinis. I go for more citrus forward, like a horse's neck,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, brandy, bitters, and club soda with a... And then you peel a whole lemon and twist it in the glass.
Ooh.
And it's... Originally a Royal Air Force drink.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, called the horse's neck. But yeah, so like I find myself gravitating more for that. Where in the winter, you know, I'm old fashions and scotch and
yeah,
rums.
You
know, like overproofed rums mm-hmm. and things like that. So it's really interesting for me. Because it summer's. I mean, look at how I dress too. Summer's such a transition for me.
Yeah,
and when I'm in winter, I look forward to summer. And all that it has to offer,
right?
You know, recipe wise and fashion wise and food wise and all that stuff. And then when I'm in summer, I long for the winter.
Exactly. And that's I think, like, living well and intentionally is doing those things, like understanding what season you're in and trying to do everything you can to thrive in that season, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It just makes the season a whole lot more enjoyable and... You know, you look forward to it.
Well, yeah, and I was actually, that's great that you said that because I was going to touch on that. Like, it's a very interesting, you know, to actually, like, kind of plan a couple of things in the summer and a couple of things in the winter that mm-hmm. you have to look forward to.
Exactly. That's exactly why I try to have my Xbox because when fall comes around, I am so excited to put away
yeah.
all my projects from the summer
yeah.
and just play Forza. You
yeah.
know, play something on Xbox.
Like, I love tending my yard.
Mm-hmm.
I love, and I've worked really hard on it, you know, and we're still working hard on
right.
it.
That's great.
But the flip side of that is, like, you know, by August, I'm really ready for there to be snow and not have to worry about it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but, you know, projects that are happening this summer versus the winter, you know, I'm really excited for the next year for both of us, just for knowing what's coming. I'm going to jump topics here.
Go ahead.
Because I feel like we could go on this tangent for a long time. I want to talk about how I had a change of heart about the 24-hour Le Mans.
Oh, okay.
About the NASCAR team. They brought the Camaro.
Yeah.
What a story.
Uh-huh.
One. Two, what a car.
Yes.
And three, they drove, from what I've read, because I didn't get to watch it, much of it. They drove a really great race.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
And they obviously they're not going back winners, but they're going back with, and I love that one of the articles said this, they're going back with a vault of knowledge and information.
Yeah.
And can you imagine what they take from that and implement in their cars?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And this, I said this morning, this crossover between motorsport is, and we've talked several episodes about the crossover of different drivers.
Yes.
But we've not necessarily seen different cars.
Right.
Yeah, crossover.
And it's not like an Integra or like a Acura. It's a freaking NASCAR. Like a NASCAR.
Yeah, it's a NASCAR built platform.
Yes.
In a beautiful Camaro chassis. I mean, those, you know, Dodge has the Hellcat and Ford has the Mustang and the GT500, you know, and all that stuff. But Camaro or Chevy's really dialed in where, you know, Dodge and Ford kind of, they're selling. So Chevy really continually upped the performance and the handling. And like, they really paid attention to each Camaro that they released.
Right, right.
And I honestly think of the three pony cars, I think it's the best to drive.
Yeah, I haven't driven one, but I could.
I've driven all three of them. I didn't drive a Hellcat. I drove an SRT. I actually got to experience driving.
Oh, okay.
You know, and the new ZL1 Camaro and the latest rendition.
Right.
And it is just, it's a responsive car. It's not a muscle car.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't drive like a muscle car.
Right.
It's not, it reminds me of a European sports car. It's twitchy and nervous.
Hmm.
Okay, so that is a Buick Roadmaster station wagon from the 90s with a 582 crate motor in it.
Really? It just sounds lopey.
Yeah, and it literally sticks out the top. It's awesome. Raked. It's nuts.
Love that.
Anyway, that's why God I love sitting outside. Yeah, God bless that man. But we have this amazing thing happening now where I think this is going to open, like with this situation. And I hope it opens doors to, like, you know, let's switch the tires and the suspension on a GT3 car and take it to Formula Drift.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, that'd be very interesting.
Let's put off-road suspension and tires on, you know, a Formula E car and tackle WRC. you know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Stupid shit.
Yeah.
But I think it's great.
Yeah, it's cool that... Johnson. Yeah, Jimmy Johnson.
Jimmy Buffett. Jimmy Buffett set some great lap times in Margaritaville yesterday. Shouldn't have stepped on that Pop-Tart, but he did find his flip-flop on turn three.
Yeah.
And I still think it's his own damn fault.
That was a good tie-in.
Yeah, that was very good. Thank you. I pulled that out of my ass.
You did, and it was perfect.
Thank you.
It's just cool that he. Man, I guess I didn't. I think NASCAR is so boring, you know.
Oh, it is.
And I know there's people that just get so excited about it.
Mazel tov, we're happy for you.
Yeah, I guess I don't understand it, and I don't know if I'm gonna take the time to understand it, if I'm honest with you.
Well, here's the thing with NASCAR. You have the time to understand it. It doesn't take long.
That's true.
There's like three rules, and first and foremost, don't turn right. You'll be fine.
Yeah, pretty
there
much.
Are a few tracks where they turn right.
Yeah, which are really cool to watch. Like, those are the ones that I, like, will pay a little bit
well,
of attention
to. Well,
yeah,
because everybody's so freaked out, they have to do the other way now.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if somebody started a NASCAR? I've always thought about this. If somebody just accidentally started a NASCAR race backwards, they couldn't do it.
No.
No, because all right turns.
Nor should you.
He couldn't do it. He wouldn't know what to do.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. The cars are obviously said to be biased on that side.
Yeah.
You know.
So, I mean, maybe we have like a handicap league. Handicap meaning not. Uh-oh. I meant like, you know, they have to go right, but they're still geared for the left. So it's a hand, you know, like a mulligan. That's what I should have said.
A mulligan, yes.
Yeah. Ooh.
Well,
you know, well, that was, it's been fun.
Yeah.
Your new host will be here next week.
No, I thought the car looked super cool with like the headlights and taillights, all the lights around it. And it was just cool. I don't know. I think it brought a spotlight to NASCAR that they've needed, you know, for people like me that blatantly don't care about NASCAR, you know,
people like us.
Yes, yes, yes. But man, it gave me so much respect for the owners, for the drivers, for the team. Like,
and Jimmy Johnson's been driving NASCAR for a long time.
Yeah, and he drove.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, he's
and who is Button? Who is the James Button?
I'm not familiar. He seems new.
No, he's a old Formula One driver. Jensen Button.
Yeah.
He drove in it.
No kidding. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Jensen Button, Jimmy Johnson.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're testing all platforms.
Isn't that cool?
I would love to see what a Formula One driver could do in a NASCAR.
Yeah.
Get it. Put him in one of those NASCAR cars. And put him on like Laguna Seca.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Well, that's what they did.
Well.
Hey, DeBrush Belleville, that just happened. I got over 3 hours ago.
I hate you.
And they did well.
Yeah.
I'll let you know.
Yeah, really, you know, it went well.
It went really well. It was even a 24 hours, Le Mans.
Shut up, Paul. Shut up, Paul.
But the whole experiment, like him driving, all three of them driving was a really interesting experiment in seeing like what they can do both in like preparing the car for a car that shouldn't be prepared for that race. How well it did. They did the fastest pit stop, from what I understand, with using manual jacks, which is wild.
Yeah, well, but you have to, I'm sorry. Nobody pits faster than NASCAR.
What?
Those guys are nuts.
Doesn't Formula One pit faster than NASCAR?
I'm not sure, but I would be willing to bet that it... I'd be willing to bet.
Yeah.
Because those guys, they pit... They pit in a way that it's just, it's not even an art form anymore. It's on a different world.
Yeah,
like,
the last Grand Prix, Red Bull did a 2.1 pit stop, and the announcers were like, this is just the team. You know, they have the best drivers, they have the best research,
they have the most cars.
Yeah, but
they spend
a lot of time practicing pit stops, you know?
Well, yeah, they spend a lot of time doing everything.
Right.
But they have the money to do so.
Mm-hmm.
I was really excited to see that. I was really excited to see that this stupid hybrid Toyota lost.
You wanted the Toyota lose?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think it's stupid.
What do you mean?
It's stupid. Don't bring a hybrid to Le Mans.
I think the Ferrari that won was a hybrid.
Well, I mean like that Prius looking, don't bring that. I don't care about the hybrid, but don't bring that car.
Sweet. I'm all about it.
It's stupid. It's a Prius at 24-hour Le Mans.
Yeah.
Old man Ferrari would have walked up, come out of his grave, walked up and shot both of them through the eyes.
I think that's bold on Toyota's part. Like, here's this, like, Prius, and we're going to come in second.
Well, there's that. They didn't come in second.
I love it.
I miss races like Le Mans, because they do 24 hours of Sebring. They do... But 24-hour Le Mans has been around for so long, and those 24-hour races, it's not so much about fast lap times. It's about pacing the car, and it's a different head game.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, the Kentucky Derby versus, you know, endurance horse racing. You know, it's just a different mindset.
Yeah.
And I just find that fascinating.
Yeah, and it's interesting because different drivers have different styles. Obviously, all three of them are going to have completely different styles.
Yeah.
Which is interesting that Jimmy Johnson was able to be competitive in that race when he's typically, you know, used to doing oval, right?
Well, yeah, but
from what
I understand, mean, they train.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, same simulators and stuff. Mm-hmm. But the thing about it, just to have him come out and do that mm-hmm. is just cool.
Yeah, it is.
You know, and to say that you got to do a, you know, a Le Mans start at 24-hour Le Mans, like,
mm-hmm.
and I would be interested to see of the three of them what the driving dynamics and statistics were like, mm-hmm. depending on who was in
yeah.
the car.
Yeah, me too.
I've always wanted to do a 24-hour race.
Yeah,
I've always, and from the ground up, I've always wanted to pick a chassis, get it ready, learn how to race it,
mm-hmm.
get a good team. Like, mm-hmm. I think that would be fascinating.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because it's such a different, like, Ford versus Ferrari touched on this about how, like, it's, you know, the first 12 hours are the easiest because it's during the day.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And then once you get to the dark where there's no streetlights and, mm-hmm. and you're tired and you're, you know.
Yeah, everything kind of blurs together.
Yeah, man. I mean, I would just, I think, what a feat.
Yeah.
And you have to train yourself.
Right.
I think
right.
that's fascinating. So I'm still glad they do it. Mm-hmm. You know, with all these EPA things cracking down.
Yeah.
I'm glad they still do Same. Long races like that.
Same. Yeah, it's cool. This is Ferrari's first race in 50 years there, apparently. Mm-hmm. They took first.
Mm-hmm. 499 GP.
Yeah, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I always have a soft spot in my heart for Ferrari.
Yeah,
for Ferrari racing.
It's interesting that Ferrari
and the Roma
became kind of the underdog in motorsport. You know?
That's fair. Yeah, because their Formula One team just doesn't...
Mm-mm.
The car is just not what it is.
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know if there's a lot of hope for the 24-hour. Maybe that's why they're so excited. You know? Like, we did it!
Well, I think I don't know. I'm not going to speak on that. I don't know. But I'm real glad that Ferrari's still a household name and so respected.
Yeah, me too.
You know? Because I just love what Ferrari's built on.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I agree.
And I love the Italian car makers because they truly don't give a shit
no.
what anybody else is doing.
That's a fact.
You know, what do you got? I've picked two.
Oh man, there's so much stuff. Pikes Peak is this weekend.
Yep. I'm excited to watch. Ken Block's daughter.
I don't know if she's there. I don't know how.
She's running the Porsche, I thought.
Well, she's also doing the Ohio rally right now.
Oh.
So I don't know where
well,
that
I know,
works
I know
out.
His Porsche, the Hippolufagus or whatever yeah. they call it, is going up the...
Mm-hmm.
I know it's going up, and I thought his daughter was driving it.
Yeah, maybe there's just like people there testing this weekend.
Yeah.
I don't know, because I saw that all-wheel drive four-rotor Mazda 3 testing.
Yep.
So I kind of needed...
That thing sounds ungodly.
Yeah, yeah.
And we kind of touched on that last night, that rotaries are just... They're literally like traps for mm-hmm. demons, because they just sound like demons when they're
yeah,
just full
they're
bore.
They're amazing. Yeah, it's fun seeing Adam Ozzy diving into them a little bit more, and... He has two rotaries at the moment, which is fun. Yeah, and we're talking like how, you know, information is more available for rotaries. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah, yeah.
People are starting to make parts again for them. So they're not as scary as they used to be. I mean, they're still scary, but there's more information on them now, which is really amazing. So, but yeah, there's a lot of motorsport that happened this weekend. Drift Masters, the third round, second round? Second or third round happened this weekend. I just caught bits and pieces of it yesterday. Cala Revampera was in this one. Qualified third and then had a manifold explode on him during his first lead
Whoops.
Run. Yeah, so that was kind of a bummer to not see him do better. But
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, and then Formula D Japan happened this weekend. There's just a lot of stuff that happened, which was
well. And that's, cool. I mean, this is, you know, this is very, you know, kind of the first opening of summer, yeah. And that's motorsport goes nuts,
right? So good. Yeah, there's a lot. There's a new car got unveiled this weekend. Did you see the new Porsche?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on it? The 918, is that what it is?
No.
964?
No, it's the Mission X.
I thought it was a homage
to... The hypercar?
The electric hypercar? Yeah. Yes.
The Mission X.
Is that what it is? Uh-huh. Okay, yeah.
I think it's absolutely stunning.
I do too.
I think it's absolutely stunning.
Yes.
And it looks like a GT car. Like, mm-hmm. It looks like that kind of just big squat nose but long tail, yeah. And it is, it's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. I was hoping you were going to bring that up because I was going to bring that up. The Mission X, and it's, of course they developed it for the Nürburgring, but what are you going to do?
Yeah.
And it's, it is a 1-to-1,
mm-hmm.
Which is the second car in history to ever do that.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, the 1-to-1 by Koenigsegg was the first car, the first megawatt car.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Power to weight 1-to-1 creates a megawatt of power.
Hmm.
And so, in that ratio. And so, it's actually the second megawatt car ever. And here's the thing, that's a prettier car than the 1-to-1.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful car. The only thing I think they punted on,
yeah,
was making it all electric. And what I am a little sad about is that they aren't pushing their synthetic fuel, you know, that they're investing millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars into.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, like, usually when they don't do that, when they don't do something like that, it's because it's not ready yet.
Right. But, I mean, it's a prototype, right? So it's casting the future. So why not cast
or
the future?
Or something's
with that
going
too?
On with that fuel that, you know, it's not stable or something.
Sure. But I don't know. I just thought it was a kind of a kind of.
I understand.
A
punt. I think that's. I think that could be a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things about it is, I think it's the perfect blend of road going supercar and hyper race car.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it. Even the interior. You know, you've got the Formula One steering wheel. I don't know what that's freaking called. I should.
The yoke,
yeah. Mm-hmm. You have this yoke, but then you've got this really nice flowing dash with this screen that's like a teardrop shape on top because it molds into the... Like, it's just really... It's a great blend. It's got those, you know, the GT3 or the, you know, concept lights.
Yeah.
But then it's got this amazing, gorgeous hourglass aerodynamic shape.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got, like... the doors that go up and out a little bit, like, mm-hmm. McLaren does. And I love that they're still, just because it's a prototype, just because it's the future, they've still said, but we're still Porsche.
Yeah, yeah.
We have a certain standard.
Sure.
To uphold. And I love that they, you know, they're so, their pedigree is just so there.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's gorgeous.
Yeah, they did a really good job with the design for sure. It looks big, but I'm sure it's smaller than what you think it is.
Well, I'm sure it's and I'm sure it sucks to the ground. There is one thing that I don't like, and I'm looking at it right now. Hypercars, and they're starting to do those, like, where they have the seat and then the cushions are just like pieces in the seat.
Oh, yeah,
and I
yeah.
just think that's so stupid.
Yeah,
I'm driving a Porsche, not the Starship Enterprise. Fuck off. Like, I just don't... It doesn't look comfortable to me. Like, if I was going into cryostasis, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not. I'm going to the supermarket.
It looks
you know?
Cheap.
Yeah. It, and I'm sure it's a weight. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it doesn't look comfortable.
Uh-uh.
And if I'm getting sucked back with probably several Gs of force, I don't want a little cushion on my back. I don't,
yeah.
You know. And I think they're cool looking.
Sure.
But again, in a spaceship.
Right.
So this is what I brought a picture because I wanted to talk about this. See what I mean?
Yeah.
I just don't like that. I don't, because in a car like that, I want to be comfortable.
Absolutely.
Though I will say I love when they do the homage to like the F40 and the EB110 Bugatti with the split windows.
Oh, yeah.
I do like that. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that a lot.
They did a good job with it.
They did a really good job. Now, it just has to go like it looks.
Exactly. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, I don't know how to I don't know how to feel about most of it, but
this brings to one of my topics, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's been a lot of concepts with that electric retro style concept that Hyundai did.
Yes.
And this one.
Yes.
And we're seeing the new clown shoe.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Miss.
Yeah.
Another BMW miss.
Bump that noise.
Bump that noise.
It's literally another BMW miss, which is what the M stands for in BMW. It's miss. Because they, you know, and it's funny because it's supposed to be a propeller, but it kind of looks like a target. You think they'd be able to hit it. But we've seen a lot of great concepts coming out. I mean, Audi's electric Quattro, you know, we're seeing a lot of cool concepts. Do you think we're going to get production models of any of these cars?
Probably the BMW.
I hope not. That's actually the one I hope they don't build.
I mean, that's the thing, right? We're like, I hope BMW doesn't do this.
So they'll do it.
They do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Porsche will commit to making...
Versus Audi, where you're just like, I hope you do anything.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Do something different. Do something. At all. Something different. Come on. You can do it.
That's Aston Martin, too.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we talked about the DB12 last time.
Yeah.
There's a concept that I pray to God doesn't look like the concept, you know? Like
their most striking difference was building an SUV.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I will say, like, the DB12 is a great example of why, if you're going to buy a great If you want to buy a good GT car and you're going to buy an Aston Martin, you get a Vanquish.
Right.
Or, I mean, a Vantage.
Yeah.
I mean, Vanquish for sure.
Absolutely.
First 100%. Gen.
Yeah.
Anyway, but you get a Vantage because you can get the same motor in it.
Mm-hmm. Why not?
It's a prettier car.
It really is. I did see a photo of the DB12 in like that silver pewter color that they do. And it looked good.
I wanted... That should just be like a facelift. That's a facelift for the DB11.
Right.
It's not the DB12.
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
And so don't call it a DB12.
Right.
If you called it the new DB11, yeah, 100%. But it's not.
Right.
I actually have to live correction here on Culture Beast.
Uh-oh.
The prettiest car Aston Martin makes is the DBS Superleggera.
Oh, yeah.
That is the prettiest car they make from the outside. The inside's the same as the DB11, now DB12.
Yeah.
I'm going to call it the DB11 and a half. That's what I'm going to start calling it, because that's what it is.
The DB11.5.
Well, in my opinion, if it's not a facelift or like a redesign, if it's a new car, I expect a new design, a new engine, a new transaxle drivetrain, all that stuff. I expect new wheels. I expect new interior.
Yeah.
And besides making the mouth bigger and the eyes squintier, they've done nothing to that car.
Yeah, pretty much.
Nothing.
The interior might be a little bit different.
Oh, they added some buttons, which I'm happy about because I like actual buttons.
Might have wireless charging now.
Don't hold your breath. No, they might have it, but it's Aston Martin. It's
forward.
Not going to work.
Yeah, that's
it's going to wirelessly charge, you know. Your laptop at home somehow,
it's
you know,
wirelessly explode your car.
Yeah, it's gonna accelerate your pacemakers. What it's gonna do. But yeah, so I've been thinking about this, seeing these prototypes come out, because I love a good concept car.
Yeah,
but like we're getting away because back in the 80s, 90s, 2000s, they brought a concept out and they made a production car.
Hyundai is committing to making that.
Yeah, but is it going to look like that?
Probably.
I don't know.
At least similar.
It needs to look exactly like that. If it looks exactly like that, I'll buy one.
Yeah.
I'll buy one tomorrow because it's stunning.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, you heard it here first. Yeah, like Jeremy. If I lose, you can blow up my house.
Yeah.
Like that's where I'm at.
But yeah, they're putting that into production, which is so good.
That's a bold. Well, Hyundai's been hitting it on all eight.
They really have, yeah.
If a Genesis dealer comes within 200 miles of Billings, I'd think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that's my question is why do you think, this is a Culture Beast question here, why do you think that car manufacturers are building concepts that it's very apparent they have no plans on building?
I think part of it is just market strategy and attention. You know, when BMW built that throwback to
the CSL.
Yeah, the CSL. Mm-hmm. That, like, all eyes were on BMW.
That's one of the prettiest cars I've ever seen, yeah. I think.
I mean, all eyes were on BMW. Ooh, nice.
This is a good cigar.
Yeah.
You like it?
I love it. It's so good.
It's so good, isn't it?
But yeah, all eyes were on BMW for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, that's all people were talking about.
Yeah.
And then they didn't, and another M, you know, miss.
And I would rather have that CSL than I would the new 8 Series, and I like like the new 8 Coupe.
Yeah. Yeah, BMW is that company that just really lost touch with its fan base, and it's going to have to pivot very, very hard.
Oh, it's almost a 360-degree pivot.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to bring back the M1?
I hope so. It's kind of their last hope, I think, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, even, like, BMW enthusiasts that have been BMW enthusiasts forever, like, nope, that's not it anymore.
There's no car that BMW makes that gives me the fizz.
The only one that I like is the new wagon, the Estate.
Oh, the M3.
Yeah, M3 wagon. That thing is absolutely gorgeous.
This is a weird thing for me to say, but I think the prettiest car BMW makes right now is the new 7 Series.
Yeah.
I hated them on paper, and then I saw one in person in the canyon in Champaign. Mm. And I didn't know how the boxy modern look was going to go for me. And I really liked it in person. Mm-hmm. In person, it was gorgeous. It was sleek. It was long. It was angular. Mm. But, like, I mean, the last BMW, I looked at a BMW and said, I would own that, is the last generation M6.
Oh.
I loved that car.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a gorgeous car. But that's the only one I could see myself owning of a modern day BMW.
Yeah, the only one I could own is the M wagon, M.
And see, I like the car. I don't like it enough to own it.
Really?
Mm-mm.
I like that it's just absurd. You know, like, it's way too fast for what it is.
And shameless plug here, if you want to know what we're talking about, Haggerty's Henry Ketchpool does an amazing review on it.
Does he?
M3 wagon.
Yeah, I didn't realize he did.
We watched it last time you were here.
We?
Yeah.
We did, yeah.
It was on the M3 Touring, the wagon. And then we watched the Valkyrie right after that.
Interesting. I thought that was on the...
We watched the M3 That's Touring, right. The Taycan one.
Yeah, because he was putting his bike in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Yep.
So definitely go watch that. So what concepts that are out right now... And this, you get to pick one. What concept would you like to see that built?
I would like to see. Obviously, I'm excited for what Hyundai is doing. The new Lexus GX 550.
Well, they're making that.
It's still a concept, but
it's gonna look, because that's what the Sequoia looks like now.
Yeah.
But I see your point.
Yeah,
I want Audi to make that new Quattro, I want them to offer a hybrid powertrain, I want to see the hypercar where they pair an engine with hybrid technology and make it faster and better. I want to see that come into the sports car era.
Yeah,
I want to see that come down two notches, and start like. Dude, if they made a hybrid, you know, petrol engine and two hybrid motors on, like, the new Supra, it changed the game.
Yeah.
But that's the next step.
Yeah.
But I want to see them bring that Audi in a hybrid version where it's a sports car that's driver-focused like that, because that's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. It's stunning.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Audi did a really good job with that design.
Well, they're not going to build it.
No, probably not. At least it's a very small percentage of the wood.
Let's talk about that new Lexus.
Yeah, you don't like it.
No.
No.
I don't like it at all.
I like that it's different than all the SUVs that are on the road right now. Because I feel like everything is just kind of shapeless and kind of like doesn't have much personality, you know. Whereas that thing, like, it is just pronounced, you know.
Yeah, no, everything about it is...
It's too much, and it's awesome. That's what I like about it. It's too much.
I'm looking at it right now.
Like, there's nothing else I got on the road.
Except the new Sequoia.
No, I mean, the new Sequoia has rounder edges. It's softer than what that is, in my opinion. I feel like that has way more sharp lines and edges than what the Sequoia does.
It is. I mean, I think I'd like... Here's what I will say. I think I'll probably like the design once Overland companies get a hold of it, because that body is just by itself doesn't make... I don't like it. I think with Overland gear on it, Overlanded out,
yes.
I think I'll probably like that.
Yeah. And that was when they debuted one that had, you know, bigger tires, a little lift, you know, which I thought it looked super cool. And I saw some commentary saying that it's pretty big for Lexus to be debuting a car like that, you know?
Yeah.
And
I see like that, which is... I think Lexus is probably, or Toyota, has looked back and realized that half the LXs and GXs on the road are used as off-roaders.
Yeah.
Not luxury cars.
Yeah, and you're seeing more Overland builders going with the Lexus instead of the Land Cruisers, because, you know, they're basically the same thing, a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah, and more fit and finish.
Yeah, and you can go more places, or you can go the same places. You know,
and you can go the same places with real wood trim.
Right. Yeah. Put it back in its element, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Taking it back to its roots.
Hey, that's my cousin. I don't like it, but I'm on the fence.
Yeah.
And I think, because Lexus, I'm a huge Lexus fan.
Mm-hmm.
I have heard rumors that they will be doing... they will be doing like a hardcore off-road version of it.
Oh, really?
Later.
Oh, cool.
Which,
like a TRD version?
Kind of. Yeah, that kind of, you know, the Lexus equivalent would, I don't know what it would be.
Yeah, I don't know either, because it wouldn't be a TRD, obviously.
No, but and that'll be interesting to see.
Mm-hmm.
Please put beadlocks on it.
Yes.
Please put beadlocks on it.
Yeah, it's interesting because like a lot, Lexus... That's an interesting thought. Lexus has a lot of motorsport attention. Like, a lot of people use Lexus for motorsport, but they don't have a division dedicated to it, like what TRD is to Toyota.
But if you think about it, being the same company, you know, executives are looking at the success of, like, dude, they TRD Camrys now.
Mm-hmm.
And Avalon, and they're gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
They're TRD Pro-ing everything.
Right.
Lexus is like, why don't we do that? For certain cars. Obviously, I don't want a TRD LS.
Right.
That's silly.
But you see a lot of Lexus getting prepared for drift. You know, obviously, like touring cars.
Yeah.
There's a lot of motorsport.
Dude, that RCF is...
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Right?
Baby LFA.
Yeah. You know, even like the Overland stuff, but they don't have a team that develops stuff for them,
mm-mm.
which is interesting.
And I think we'll see a change in that, because I think they're starting to realize, at least the GS, what that means to mm-hmm. people. Because, I mean, most of the GSs, there's a lot of GXs around here, and the GXs you see are lifted and have racks on them and lights, mm-hmm. and, you know, I think we'll be pleasantly surprised.
I hope so. Yeah.
Me too. What you got?
I kind of wanted to shift away from cars just a little bit.
Okay.
I wanted to talk about fashion a little bit.
Perfect.
Yes.
You're one of my favorite topics.
Because, like we were talking about at the beginning of the episode, like, you know, summer's starting. You know, it's a different season. And I know a lot of car enthusiasts just don't care what they're wearing when they go out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of that is just because they don't know. They don't know how.
Mm.
So I felt like let's give some people some ammo. Let's give them some resources. Kind of walk them through, like, what to do, what to wear, how to present yourself when you're going to the meet or to the motor show or to the race or whatever, you know?
Yeah. I think the first thing that came to my mind when you said that was, I think, you know, with motorsport or driving or what, even if it's, you know, taking your, you know, your Porsche up the highway or whatever.
Yeah.
Just for a joyride. I think that certain things really do make a difference. Like,
of course,
the shoe. What are you wearing?
Right.
Huge difference.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that, you know, what you're putting on your feet to connect with the car is huge.
Right.
Gloves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're driving an older vintage car. Driving gloves are very stylish.
Yeah.
And they're effective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a driving loafer is effective and it looks great.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I want to kind of touch on. So, like, if you are, let's say, I'm going to give you a scenario, okay? You find yourself in Dallas, Texas.
Okay.
Impromptu, there's a...
going to go see Brian Craig.
Yeah, going to go see Brian Craig.
Yeah.
Right?
Shout out to Brian Craig.
And then you guys decide you're all of a sudden going to go to... the Formula One,
yeah,
the Grand Prix, right? But you haven't. It's a surprise, right? It's a surprise for him.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do to prepare as an enthusiast? With what, you know, how are you going to tailor yourself to get ready for that?
That's a good question.
Uh huh.
I think what people don't realize is, especially driving or going to a motoring event, like I'm not tooting my own horn, but I think look at zip tie clubs, look at, you know, some of the other events. You know, I always dressed me.
Right. Yep.
I always wore a suit or this or that. I always dressed me.
Mm-hmm. And what I guess kind of where I'm coming from is, like, I don't dress like you, but at a Grand Prix, it would require a different dress than what I would typically wear. You know?
Yeah. So if I was going to a higher end motoring, like, let's say, you know, I was going to Goodwood.
Yep.
You know, I'd probably wear something similar to what I'm wearing now. I would elevate because it's not just about the cars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even a car meet in a parking lot is not about just about the cars.
Right.
And you see a lot of street style,
mm-hmm,
and streetwear at those meets because it is an underground kind of feel.
Right, right.
And that's why I loved wearing suits to these events,
mm-hmm,
because it just was, it was against the grain.
Right, yeah.
But if I'm going to Formula One in Dallas, it depends. You know, I'm going to try to be comfortable.
Right.
But I'm going to try to showcase style and elevate to where I'm at.
Yep.
You know, I'd probably wear something similar to what I'm wearing, mm-hmm, now. If I were going to Goodwood, I would be wearing, you know, probably a linen suit, you know, an ascot, you know, maybe a walking stick because there's a lot of walking at Goodwood. Mm-hmm. People don't realize that.
But let's say, like, you don't have the fit. Where are you going to get it? You know.
Oh.
Like, give people a resource.
So a lot of people are so afraid, you know, back 10 years ago, getting a
you got some dogs
and dog visitors
getting interested in what we're doing.
Yeah, getting he's got a pee on bomber spot here.
The dog's got to smell it. Henry, that's hilarious. Anyways,
And the thing about it is getting.
Hi,
how's it going? Probably smells our dog.
Yeah.
We'll edit that out.
Have a good one.
Yeah, you too. Pausing. All right. So I think part of it is knowing the look you want before you get into the event. Like, okay, I want to kind of have this vibe mm-hmm. or this look or this right. feel. And then the second thing is, you know, 5 or 10 years ago, you know, ordering a suit or ordering something online was unheard of.
Right.
Like, 'cause you want to try it on. Now we're at that point. We're at that point where, you know, you can, I mean, the linen I was wearing last night came offline
right.
and it fits great.
Yep.
And don't be afraid to order offline. Always order a little bigger than you need to
yep.
and then have it tailored.
Yep.
But there are so many great stores give online discounts, mm-hmm. you know, from Etnies to, Hugo Boss to, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. But I think the first thing is always seeing, you know, figuring out how you want to look and then appropriately go to the store. Whether that's online or brick and mortar.
So back to the question.
Yeah. Sorry.
So you're in Austin. You're in Texas.
I don't live in Texas, so I think you're asking me where I would go. I don't know.
Well, I've seen you dress well from Old Navy.
Yeah.
I've seen you dress well from JCPenney.
Macy's, but yeah.
We have a JCPenney in Billings.
I never went there.
Yeah, I've seen you dress people there a whole bunch. I've seen you buy stuff.
Dillard's.
From
I went to Dillard's.
Dillard's. That's right. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Dillard's.
I think
so. That's what I'm trying
yeah,
to.
Yeah,
like,
you don't.
Like,
I mean, honestly, a lot of my like cool stuff that I would wear came from vintage stores and thrift shops.
So you would seek out a thrift store or
yeah,
like a vintage
for
shop
for a lot of like the bigger pieces. Yeah. Because the thing about vintage stores versus like Goodwill and stuff, Goodwill's great for jeans and stuff like that, mm-hmm. but vintage stores or thrift shops. There's a certain level of care and maintenance that go into one preserving it, and then when it is goes to that shop, in keeping it nice and fixing it up to sell.
It's curating.
Yeah, and Sherry at Montana Vintage does a great job of
that.
You know, but I it all depends. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Amazon has a great plethora of places that you can buy from through them.
Sure.
That you can get pretty much anything you want. Mm-hmm. I mean,
like
those new harem pants in a few days. Yeah. Yeah. Those new harem pants, those new linen shirts, mm-hmm. that's all Amazon. I got nice. It through Amazon.
Yeah.
The Japanese pants that I gave you mm-hmm. through Amazon.
Right.
Because it gets here quick. And I know that for any single reason, it doesn't fit. Send it back.
Yeah.
No questions asked.
Yeah.
That's the other thing is that, you know, when you're shopping online, that is an option.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to be able to send it back. For me, Gap, Old Navy, for more street style,
uh-huh.
You know, Zumiez.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about it. I understand the question. It's really hard though, because it, you know, it's all about what your style is, mm-hmm. but I think people think that they need to go get a Ferrari racing jersey and they need to go get a Ferrari this or this and that and the other
right.
thing.
Right.
And they don't.
No.
I'm sorry, but if you were to wear something like this to Formula One versus something like, you know, a Ferrari jersey, I guess is where I keep coming back.
Yeah.
You're going to stand out.
Right.
And people are going to ask you who you are
because uh-huh.
you look like you don't belong there, but you do. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
I hope that was helpful because I'm just kind of having a hard time
yeah.
gauging what you're wanting me to say.
Yeah, and I'm just wanting just kind of some, like, people that don't have your style finding themselves in a situation where they are surprised that they're going to Formula One, you know, and how do they get themselves prepared quickly,
yeah.
you know?
Online, honestly, it's the only way to do it, or a vintage store. Or, like, there's bigger cities they have Porsche outlets and they've got,
yeah,
you know,
point, yeah.
go spend like for Formula One, if it's not going to be too hot, you know, get a nice white t-shirt, some skinnies, some nice sneakers and go get, you know, whatever your team is, Ferrari, Porsche, whatever, mm-hmm. order a racing jacket.
Yeah.
You know, and a cap.
Yeah.
You know, and
I'm
then
sure
if you're wandering
early,
the pits, you're going to look like you belong.
Yeah.
And you're going to feel comfortable because you look like you mm-hmm. belong.
Exactly.
And you thought it ahead of time.
Yep.
You know, we had some people in Billings, you know, come to some of the meets
mm-hmm.
greased out because they just clapped a new tranny in their car and mm-hmm. came over, you know, transmission. you got to be careful these days. But I think that, you know, you put so much time and effort. You know, people would spend days cleaning, vacuuming, waxing their cars for a zip tie club. And then they would come in stained jeans.
Exactly.
A t-shirt that had ketchup on it.
Yeah.
And it's like, this wax on your car is a lie.
Right.
It's a lie.
Right.
And so I encourage people to elevate their shit.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, you know, you can put together an outfit like this. I mean, I'm wearing, these shoes came from Montana Vintage. These pants came from Dillard's. This shirt came from, it's a Levi shirt. It came from Montana Supply. This hat came from Old Navy. These glasses are Range. The most expensive, if I were to take these glasses off, I'm wearing under $100 worth of clothes.
Yeah.
These glasses are Range. They,
and that would be a, you know, a Formula One, like.
Oh, yeah. No, outfit, you'd be great. Know? I definitely recommend insoles for these if you're going to be. But, yeah.
Around. Yeah, yeah.
You know.
So, if, so on the flip side, like somebody that is going to, like, a Japanese kind of, like, meet pop-up, alt race, you know, that kind of a meet. There's a couple companies that I wrote down this morning. I went to you. Oh. Not that.
Wow. That list will cost you $100.
Yes. there is a company called Period Correct. Have you heard of Period Correct?
No.
So there
is. I'm going to look these up as you give them to me.
Yeah, please.
Period Correct. Just clothing?
Yep. It's it is what the name incurs. It's clothing and t-shirts and like housewear stuff. Like,
you're correct. There we are. Oh.
Yeah, just cool vintage looking t-shirts, which I think if you are going to the 24-hour Le Mans, like you could, or you know, something around those. Like, you could wear something like that dressed up, you know?
Oh, yeah. This is fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Pretty
cool stuff.
Do you
have one of their keychains?
What's that?
Do you have one of their keychains yet?
I do not. I should.
Do they even have toolboxes?
Yeah, they have some really cool stuff. So that would be something that I would say if you're planning something like that and you know, it's going to be a casual day. You're going to be there a long time, whatever, you know, like that could be something that you could wear even like alt race or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is called Fliegentilt. It's a German brand. Fliegentilt.
Fliegentilt. TLT.
Uh-huh. And they have kind of a, They've been around for probably like 10-18 years.
Well, it's in German.
Yep. But their style has evolved, and what they've offered has evolved, which I really like. Like they just did a special release of all Formula One stuff, which is kind of like a throwback. They have some kind of Marlboro inspirations.
So just looking at their Grand Prix 2.
Mm-hmm.
Collection, I've put together two outfits already.
Yeah, it's really well curated.
Like if you were to do like some joggers, this Fliegentilt shirt,
yeah,
and then like a button up open, with a flat, like a cap,
yeah,
done,
yeah,
done, and that would probably
it's a motorsport company, you yep. know. So as you're going to meet, you can curate your outfit to fit, you know, to look good, but also represent motorsport as well.
Yeah.
Our buddy John Ludwig, he's got some cool merch that just came out. Shouts to John Ludwig.
Yeah, I like John.
There's a company called Ezett Vintage Goods. It's Ezett Vintage Goods.
Okay, spell that for me one more time. Ezz.
Ezett.
Is this another German brand?
I don't know where they're from, but they specialize in hats, like kind of retro throwback hats.
They're out of LA.
Yeah. Sometimes they'll get like legitimately vintage.
Okay, this is a hot sauce company.
Oh. sometimes they'll get like legit vintage, motorsport gear, But a lot of it.
They're haberdashery, yeah.
Yeah. But they have some kind of cool, like, corduroy hats and...
A lot of cool old school patches.
Yes, exactly. So I think those, that's a fun hat you could put on, you know, to match, like, whatever you do in...
Dude, they've got some cool old racing jackets, too.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a golf livery one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's another good option for people to look at. And there's a really good, it's a fun company called Go Fast, Don't Die.
I've heard of Go Fast, Don't Die.
Yeah, out of Montana, actually. Mm-hmm. Cool company.
Yeah, they got some cool stuff.
They do. Their shirts are cool. Their hats are really great. They have some good merchandise, accessories, I should say. But if it were me, I mean, these jeans are Lucky Brand. Mm-hmm. They're on sale, $50. Fit good, look good.
You know, Nike's $50. You'd be amazed how good people, or how good you'd look if you did like a vintage pair of Levi's, an old ruddy pair of cowboy boots, and a nice shirt,
mm-hmm.
like, and a cowboy hat to Lamont. People would ask you, you know, Carroll Shelby who?
Kind yeah. of
thing, you know what I mean? And I think that's important to remember.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that it doesn't really matter how much you pay for it.
Yeah.
But it's exactly. just like when you go out, you know, a lot of these guys go out for a night on the town. They like to dress up because there's girls or there's, you know, boys or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, there's people. You want to, you know, make it yours. You can do that at the car meet, too.
Mm-hmm. For less than what you think.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to be intentional about it and seek out the right things. Yeah, that's what I wanted to touch on.
That's a really good... And see, I'm sorry I didn't understand it at first. I was also making sure that what these people were doing to my neighbor's house. But I think it can be daunting.
Yeah.
And I think fashion, for what people don't realize is it comes from in here.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter if, you know, somebody else thinks you look good. As long as you think you look good,
mm-hmm.
fuck them. Yeah. You know? I mean, seriously, dude... Mm-hmm. That's the whole point of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many times in Billings people thought... I mean, there's still people who think I'm a homosexual there.
Yeah, bro.
Because of what I wear.
Right.
I don't do it for you. I do it for me.
Yeah, you just want to look good.
Yeah.
Look nice. Feel good.
And it makes me feel good. Yeah, it gives me confidence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think there is that kind of stereotype in the car community where it's like... You have to be this diehard car enthusiast, and you can't...
You got
to
wear your car's oil on your sleeve.
Yeah, you can't dress up. You know, you can't look nice. Like, that's just for, you know, people that are in cities or people that are, you know, like, I don't know. But that's not the case. You know, you can look good when you go to car events.
Mm-hmm.
There's no taboo around it.
No. No, I think that... I think it'd be, you know, there's like the Festival of Speed or the Revival, I mean, mm-hmm. like it has a dress code,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think that'd be cool to do.
Yeah, I think
I'd
love
be,
that.
I think it'd be really cool to do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that's the move right there. There we go. There we go.
Feeling comfy?
Yeah.
There we are.
Well, with these linen pants, I kept slipping.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, you know. I really want to touch base on food.
Okay.
Yeah. I found this really cool food blog called Salt and Lavender.
Huh.
And it's got these 30-minute meals.
Okay.
So, like, they're, you know, if I get home by 6, I'm lucky.
Yeah.
And... Then to think about dinner, you know, to think about, you know, I don't want to go get fast food. I don't want to pop a frozen something in the oven right. or the microwave. I don't want to just, you know, grill hot dogs every night, which sure. would be awesome. So I've started, like, you know, when we go to the grocery store, we plan, like, you know, 6 or 7 recipes that we like, and mm-hmm. we get that stuff because it cuts down on waste. But these are great, great recipes, 30 minutes or less, usually one pot, and they're really easy to make.
Yeah.
And it's called Salt and Lavender, and this lady, Natalie, wonderful lady, Natalie, curates this thing. And it's changed the way I've eaten. I'm eating better. I'm getting more variety. I'm eating healthier because it's cleaner ingredient.
So what are some recipes that you have found on that you enjoy?
There's this Tuscan spinach orzo. So it's Italian sausage. Orzo is a small like rice-like pasta. And then spinach in a cream sauce. And it's delicious. There's a Korean broccoli and beef. There, one that we did, we really liked. There's one that's a sun-dried tomato creamy gnocchi.
Ooh.
You know, there's one that's lemon pepper and dill and garlic fish, you know, over rice. There's all these things. But yeah, they're really, really cool. And there's a lot, probably 25, 30 on each page, and there's 16, 17 pages.
Wow.
So, I've been cooking more, and I love to cook, so it's been doing my heart good, you know.
Cooking is so much fun.
Yeah. And you know, I'll always kind of do this. Oh, I don't want as much of that. Oh, I want more of this, you know, or I want to add garlic, or I want to, you know.
Yeah.
So it's been really fun.
But you also have some good cooking hacks.
Me?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that's because I like it to be good, but I don't want it to take, you know, my 3-hour chicken and dumplings. The spaghetti I make now, the sauce I make now, it takes a long time, but you just, making it's not hard. It's just, it takes a while to cook it.
Right.
But like my chicken and dumplings takes me like 3 hours, and that's about the max.
Yeah.
I like it to be easy, mm-hmm. you know, and yeah, there's ways to make it easier on yourself and still get a good meal.
Right.
You know.
So. Yeah, I've heard you talk a lot about Costco, getting a lot of like frozen chicken at Costco, or to get the meat at Costco.
Yeah, the rotisserie. So yeah, like the chicken quesadillas.
Yep.
I love the ones from Taco Bell, but they're not healthy.
Right.
It's actually funny thing. A survey came out, and Taco Bell is the healthiest fast food.
That's interesting.
Yeah, isn't it? So I'll get like Costco. You can buy rotisserie chicken, but you can also buy it deboned. The vacuum sealed, and they brine them. They're delicious. But what I do is I freeze half of it and then take some of it, and I'll put like basically whip up like, you know, taco seasoning, cayenne, you know, all the, you know, little sage, little, you know.
Yeah.
And I'll just let it sit in that, and I'll just take it out when I need it. And with the, you know, the wraps, the different flavored tortilla wraps you can get, mm-hmm. you know, the sun-dried tomato one, and it makes a damn good quesadilla.
Yeah.
And then I take, because I'm fat, I like ranch and spicy mayo mixed together.
Yeah.
You know. Excuse me.
Bless you.
Somebody had to. But yeah, so, I mean, I really like to cook, and I really like to eat healthier. I mm-hmm. like to eat well, but I'm also just gassed. And this has been a great resource to be able to make a good meal in not a lot of time. Mm-hmm. The other thing is I'm really getting into, oh my gosh, this seat just is making me just, I'm going to have to sit up like this. I've been doing a lot of in the winter, I don't do them right now, but I do a lot of soups, white chicken chili and stuff in the crock pot.
Yep.
But yeah, like it just because you're working a lot and everybody's working a lot these days, that doesn't mean that you can, you know, you still have options mm-hmm. if you want to cook. And the portions are usually for 3 to 4 people.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I kind of partition my meals in finding things that I can make a lot of that I can freeze mm-hmm. and then have later. So like in the summers, I'll do a lot of pork shoulders.
Ooh, yeah.
So I'll do pork shoulder in a crock pot with like a taco seasoning on top. Mm-hmm. And then I've been doing a wheat beer in it. As like a
really?
Marinade, mm-hmm. And the beer just makes it just so soft and just, oh, it's so good. So, what am I doing?
These are just some of the recipes I wanted to show you.
Oh yeah, yeah. So I'll do that over rice. Sometimes I'll do some of the Heinz 57 sauce on it, that red sauce that they make,
Heinz,
which is
yeah.
delicious. And then other times I'll make pasta, you know. I love pasta dishes in the summer, mm-hmm. especially pesto, which is just easy, you know. Mm-hmm. It takes a little bit of time to make pasta, but mm-hmm. having fresh pasta, pesto, you know, chicken pesto, oh, it's just so
good.
One
of my favorite things to do with pesto is I take that chicken I was talking about.
Yeah.
I cube it up. Mm-hmm. and fold it in pesto. And then I'll get a nice, like, mild cheese, like Havarti or Gruyere. And I'll make, like, a panini. Mm. Like a chicken pesto panini.
Ooh, yeah.
And you can do it with mozzarella. You do whatever you want.
Yeah,
but
that sounds delicious.
And it's just easy. It's just good, you know. I love pesto.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Marry me chicken, huh? That mm-hmm. sounds good. It looks good anyways, I should say. Mmm, those pork chops look good.
Yeah, and again, these are all 30-minute meals.
Creamy Dijon rosemary chicken. Dang. Oof. Creamy pork tenderloin medallions.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yeah, dude.
Salt and lavender, folks. 16 yeah. pages of 30-minute recipes.
Yep.
And here's Natasha. Huh, I love this. How did you find this?
I was scrolling through Instagram one night, couldn't sleep, and I saw just a recipe that popped up, and it was from this.
Yeah.
And so I just went down this rabbit hole, and it's all different kinds of food. Oh, the chicken bacon gnocchi is really good.
Mm. Chicken bacon and gnocchi sounds. That's a great combination.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's been really fun, you know, easy Thai chicken curry soup, you know, it's just, you know, spinach salad with bacon and eggs. Like it's just easy stuff, but it's, you know, I mean, this is creamy gnocchi with sausage. It's a fucking hamburger helper, yeah. But it's because hamburger helper takes about 30 minutes to make, mm-hmm. but by using fresh ingredients, it's better for you. You can doctor it up. You get more nutrients out of it,
mm-hmm.
and you're not wasting food. You know,
I've never had hamburger helper.
That's you're doing all right.
Yeah,
yeah, you're doing fine. Because there's really no need to have it.
Yeah,
if I'm being completely honest with you, but you know what I mean. Like, but you know, like, it's just really been helping me because I just come home and I'm just dog tired.
Yeah.
But I love to cook. Absolutely. Food's my love language, yep. You know.
And when I come home from work, I'm typically like want to get started on a project or work on a project. So I want something that's kind of quick. That
yeah,
I can...
30-minute meal, 20 minutes to eat it, you're done.
Yeah, exactly.
Or 15 minutes to eat it, 15 minutes to clean up, you're still done, you know,
sure.
In an hour.
Yeah.
So it's been so much fun. You know, because we'll get a recipe and we'll do it. And then I'm like, you know, next time I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Try to change the recipe a little bit.
Yeah. And like the Tuscan sausage spinach orzo, like I want to do it with gnocchi next time.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So, yeah, I've been, that's been really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a good resource. Salt and lavender has.
Yeah.
Been a great resource for.
I should look into that because I kind of get stuck in this cooking rut,
yeah.
Where I just kind of make the same things and I don't really
yeah.
know like where to go or what to do.
Well, and what we've done is we make a grocery list based off that and a couple other things that mm-hmm. we like.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, when we go back to the grocery store 2 weeks later or whatever, because we usually go about every 2 weeks, we're not throwing away as much food. We're not wasting as much food. Stuff doesn't get shoved to the back and then, you know, oh, forgot about that. We got to throw it away. It's not even opened.
Yeah.
No, because we know, okay, we're going to have this and this and this, you know.
Yep.
And we only buy with a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
it's
huge.
Been great. It's been great. And we're eating healthier because, you know, listen, by the time I DoorDash something or by the time I go get something and bring it back, it's been 30 minutes.
Right. Yeah. And you spent time and money and
yeah.
gas and yeah.
Yeah. And that. If I just do it at my house, I don't have to put pants on.
That's true. I'm sure Adair is okay with that.
We'll edit that out. But yeah, so I've been doing a lot of cooking and I love it.
So good. It's a good season for it.
Yeah. Looks like it might rain.
It might.
One of the cool things I like about doing this outside is that one, the backdrop is stunning.
Mm-hmm.
But two, I really, there's something about just, you know, we're doing the podcast, but we're also relaxing outside.
Yes.
It's like the best of both worlds.
It is really nice, yeah.
You know what I mean?
It is.
And I like it. Our first ever Culture Beast episode was outside.
It was.
in your driveway.
I should post that. I still have it.
Your old driveway.
Yep.
That was hysterical. When we went down the rabbit hole of the new Volkswagen Atlas wheel colors.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that? And we were, I mean, Mujibajarum or whatever it was. Oh, man. I went on a rant because I was like, what is this even? Dude, that was good.
Here's some thunder in the background.
Yeah, see?
So good. Well, we're at about an hour and a half.
Yeah, I'd say that's good. And I'm out of topics.
Yeah, me too for this week.
Yeah, I have another topic, but I'm saving it for next week.
Me too.
Or next 2 weeks or whatever. I do cherish these times that we get to do this.
It is fun.
And I like that every episode, none of them have the same feel.
Mm-mm.
Like, this was a more subdued episode, I feel. Mm-hmm. But we got into some stuff, you know, some more factual things in it. And, you know, other episodes are loosey-goosey all over the place. And I just like that there's a nice flow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. We get into topics and talk about it for a little bit.
Yeah.
Move around.
And that's, you know, well, my uncle said, when do you guys get to the content? That's not the point of Culture Beast.
Mm-mm.
The point of Culture Beast isn't, here's content that other people are doing. In fact, Culture Beast is a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a podcast. It's a conversation. And I like that.
That's where the whole thing started from.
Yeah, we don't have like a checklist of questions. We kind of have ideas of topics we want to talk about, but it usually leads into other things. Oh, I saw this.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a conversation. And that natural progression, mm-hmm. I think, is what sets Culture Beast apart.
Exactly.
You know?
That's fun.
So thank you for watching.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of this journey. This is episode 36.
Yeah. And clip 40 here pretty soon. Next couple weeks.
Yes, we are. And you know what? There are a lot of great episodes to look back on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I encourage people, you know, start going back through them. You know, if you signed on at episode 10 or 20 or 25 or 30, go back through them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because there's some great moments. I mean, the pouring risottos.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
That was hilarious.
There's some really good moments.
Yeah, we had some great moments. Yeah.
And if you could, like, you know, people always say like, comment, and subscribe, but that does really help because
it does.
Every content creator is up against the algorithm, the whims of the algorithm.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate but true, you know. So even if you know, you listen to us for just a second, you know.
Yeah, like, subscribe, and then you can unfollow us afterwards, but just like and subscribe and share first.
Yeah.
Like, we're petty. Well, I am. Just do it.
Do it now.
Well,
please.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Right now. Right now. The number under here. No. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching.
I appreciate you guys. And
yeah.
Hopefully you found there's some good resources in this to
yeah.
help be intentional this summer.